Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday. We have not had an open line on this show for over a year, and we haven't had any since we switched our time slot from the morning until the afternoon. To tell you the truth, I kind of like doing those, and we're not doing them as often because there is so much to talk about, but we figured every now and then they're kind of valuable. It's not kind of valuable. They are valuable because you give us suggestions of shows that we may have overlooked. You've read something that's brilliant and you think that it should be on the air. You heard a political analyst somewhere else and you thought, ooh, that person would be great on Wisconsin Public Radio. So we thought we would open our lines this hour and give you a chance to suggest ideas for shows from the hours of 1 till 3 just for this particular program. Our phone number and our lines are already pretty busy, but just keep this in mind and eventually you'll be able to get through. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email, in case you would like to use that way of communicating, you can do that as well. I've got my pencil. I actually purposely went to get a pencil because I think you can write a little faster. What do you think? With a pencil than with a pen? So I got a pencil. Paper, going to write down suggestions. Again, phone number 800-486-8655. Eugene and Viola, hi.
Hi, good. I have three, and I'll make it as quick as possible, Kathleen. First one is interviewing the crew of the B-17 that's going flying into Oshkosh. That crew is all World War II veterans in their 80s and 90s.
When is that? For the EAA? Is that?
I think so. I picked it off in Wisconsin Public Radio News.
Oh. Okay.
And the pilot evidently flew one of those during World War II.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the first one. The second one is Pine Ridge. I was down in 1880 trade fair down in McGregor, Iowa, and he was acquainted with those reservations out there. And what he was telling me was the gangs are moving in out there into the reservations, and you don't have much for law enforcement. And they're marrying into the Indian Indian women and distributing drugs. And that's the first and the second one. The third one is, in these small communities, you don't, for instance, Vernon County here, you've got two patrol cars on duty all the way from Hillsborough all the way to the Mississippi River after 4 o'clock in the morning. They don't have the time or the resources or the money to go after small drug operations. Mm-hmm. So the small drug operations are getting away with it on the heroin.
Okay.
Pretty much. Well, what are you going to do? We just don't have the time, but we don't have the, not the time, but we don't have the money and the resources.
Mm-hmm.
To tackle, you don't have the time and the resources set up to sting for little operations.
Right.
On the heroin.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Eugene, very much for the call. We've done a couple shows. Everybody doing shows on heroin. We do have a third. Milwaukee's having a major conference on heroin addiction in this area in early June. So our next show, I believe, will be tied into that. That's coming up a little bit later. We will try to find out more about the B-17. That sounds like it would be a fascinating show. All righty, and let's go next to Josh in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Josh.
Hi, thanks for having me on the air. I kind of wanted to touch base on, you know, civilians and what their public safety is, you know, when it comes to, like, law officials and police officers. I've been noticing on YouTube that there's some viral videos about what you should do during a traffic stop or even a civilian stop in person on the sidewalk when a cop approaches you in our state, because I don't know the laws about random stoppings and do you have to present your ID when you're not breaking any laws or traffic laws. A lot of people are not rolling their windows down for police officers, but only to hear them. It's just for their safety. I just kind of want to touch base on that.
All right. Thank you, Josh. Thanks for the suggestion. William and Racine, hi.
Hello. How are you today?
All right. You?
I've got two things. First off, besides that 17, there's also a B-36, and that name is an aluminum overcast.
Oh.
But getting to my question, you know, with fracking happening, I was really excited for that because I thought that there'd be a lot of excess energy in the United States. And jobs follow energy, and, you know, especially the chemical energy and all of the rest of that. They're all based on hydrocarbons. And now I find out that, or at least what I'm beginning to understand this is that that natural gas is going to be liquefied and sent overseas, which really means that the American worker might not be able to benefit from all of this excess energy that's now available in the United States. And I was wondering if you could do a program about that.
On fracking. All right. Yes, we could. Thank you very much for your call. Maddie in Wapaka. Hi.
Hi. There's a book by Dr. William Davis called Wheat Belly. And it's similar to the book Grain Brain. However, it explains better how what we eat affects us as far as obesity and getting diabetes. And the second book would be a book called Overwhelmed. And it's written by a Christian minister who had previously counseled his parishioners, you know, just pray more and things like that, until he became hit with clinical depression himself. And then he realized, the importance of medication for some people. Those two books.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Maddie. Our number is 800-486-8655. Ken, Contra Falls. Hi, Ken.
Hello.
Hi.
The issue I'd like to hear a program on, you've covered it before, is reform of the process for reapportionment of the legislature. And more specifically, I think in spite of overwhelming, good government organizations, civic organizations, the media have called for this, the legislature is ignoring it. I guess if you could find someone that could address what it will take to force the legislature into action, what a private citizen can do.
And what would you like to have happen, Ken?
I would like to see consideration of the two pieces of legislation this past session to go with a model, using a model similar to what Iowa uses.
Okay.
That were introduced, but the leadership in the legislature refused to bring it up for vote.
Okay, Ken. Good suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go next to Mary in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi there. I wanted to suggest a program that would look at the events going on in Israel and Gaza and the West Bank from a little different perspective. There is an author who Ali Abu Nima, who has a second book which has just been published in March entitled "Battle for Justice in Palestine." And he is very much, present, a presence in the states, in the U.S., with a voice for a one-state solution versus the two-state solution that we are so used to hearing about in the states. He's a very articulate presenter of his ideas, and I think he would be a wonderful guest.
All right, Mary, thank you. Thanks for the call. Yep. Pat in Wauwatosa.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hey, Pat.
I'd like to recommend a book called American Psychosis by E. Fuller Torrey. He's a research psychiatrist who's contributed a lot. He has a sister who is schizophrenic, and he started the Treatment and Advocacy Center. This book traces the federal government treatment for the mentally ill. In fact, the subtitle is How the Federal Government Destroyed the Mental Illness Treatment System. It's really a history of the last maybe 60 years of what John F. Kennedy envisioned, but then, of course, he was assassinated, and what people in the National Institute of Mental Health did with the money that the federal government assigned. I think it's fascinating. It really goes with what the Milwaukee Journal has been following in terms of treatment of the mentally ill.
Okay, how do you spell his last name, Pat?
It's the initial E.
Yeah.
Then Fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R.
Right.
Last name is Torrey, T-O-R-R-E-Y.
Okay.
And he's a very good spokesman. He's been quoted quite a bit lately in New York papers and the Wall Street Journal. And he is a very knowledgeable person in terms of treatment. But this is really an eye-opener in terms of the waste of money from the federal government and not being used for what it should have been used for.
Yeah. All right, Pat, it sounds interesting. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Karen in Jefferson. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to say thank you for hosting Jeffrey Mason with Beasts, What Animals Can Teach Us.
He was fascinating. He wasn't he?
Yeah. It was a great book, and it's become my Bible. And in that same vein, I would really appreciate it if somebody there could do a show on the seal hunt in Canada. I don't call it a hunt. I think it's more like a slaughter, but they call it a seal hunt, which makes it sound better, I suppose. But, you know, despite the thousands of signatures that we've gotten and the boycotts and everything that everyone has done to end this Holocaust, this genocide, it continues to take place every March. And if anybody can do it, if anybody can bring it to the public's attention, you can, Kathleen. I have faith in you.
All right, Karen. Thank you. Thanks for the call and suggestion.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Laura in New Berlin. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Kathleen. And what a great suggestion Karen just made. I would second that. But also with the news of the last month concerning Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, maybe it'd be good to have an update on the ginormous problem of the trash in the world's oceans.
Okay.
Yeah. And I actually know it's a huge problem on land, too, because I've spent 6,000 hours in the last 13 years, and it's just growing tragically with more and more human traffic and human presence. I think it's a global pathology of sorts.
Yeah. Okay. We have years ago we did something on this. It was National Geographic, I think, that did a spread. Do you remember that some time ago with the huge amount of plastic in the ocean? I mean, enough to huge islands worth. Incredible amount of stuff. Right. All right. We'll do a follow-up on that. Thank you. Interesting suggestion. Yeah, thank you. Let's go to Mylea. Hi, Mylea in Madison.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I just wanted to have a suggestion about, we live in Madison. My husband's a graduate student. We live at Eagle Heights. And I just wanted to talk about how, you know, this can be an opportunity for a WPR to talk more about the graduate programs and how some spouses or families, they have the stressor of this person that's in graduate school and doing work there. And it just, to me, I've been reading blogs about how spouses are coping with this and the stressors of their family and just the difficulty of having a family while in graduate school. And maybe somebody can talk more about how we can cope with it or how families are coping with this.
All right, so you're having so it's you who are having problems?
No, not me
no.
specifically, but I've seen that in my community or with
right.
families with divorces that are going on. Or just things that I think we don't talk often about.
All right, and you're talking about money problems mostly? Or
yeah, also and right. money problems, the stress of security, the availability of a job market right now for graduate students, even though they are PhD candidates or even postdocs sometimes. Mm. We have lots of families that just have the opportunity to be here, but then they don't know what's going to happen, what the foresight is for
right.
for themselves and their family.
Yeah, what's life going to be? All right, Mylea, thank you very much for your call. Actually, we're doing something it's not directly related, but it was a report on the millennials. You know, those reports capture our attention every now and then and looked at what their politics were and how many jobs they may be working and whether or not they're hopeful for their future. We always get these reports. And we thought it would be really interesting to take people from different generations and put them here in our studio in three chairs. So next Wednesday at 2, we're going to have somebody from the baby boom generation. We're going to have somebody from the Gen X generation and from the millennial generation to talk about whether or not they're hopeful for their futures, what their stressors are people who are just starting out finding it really hard to fashion a living, to figure out what their job is going to be, what their future is going to be. Are there some generations that are more conservative politically than others? I just thought it'd be really interesting just to have a conversation. So we're gathering those people, and that will be next Wednesday at 2, and you may want to mark that down, Miley, and call in. It would be a good show to call in on. Let's go to Lynn in Lake Mills. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Lynn.
Hello.
Yeah, oh, I'm here. Hi.
Hello. I heard another story on NPR again this morning about college kids graduating with so much debt, and it's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a year ago, I heard a guy from Edward Jones in Wauwatosa, I think his name was Scott Kale, just talk about right when you were expecting a baby or right when your baby was born, if you put a couple dollars in an account every month, you know, even like two, it just keeps building up, and you'd be amazed when high school graduation rolls around what kind of gift you'd have for your child.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish with dad stories there'd be some inspirational confidence-building stories that you, if you think about this early enough, it doesn't need to be so overwhelming.
All right.
Well, that's my suggestion.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah,
Thanks for the call. 800-486-8655 is our number. We're doing an open line. Why? Because we haven't done one in a year. It's probably over a year because we switched time periods in July of last year, and we haven't done one since then. I'm a believer in these because I think it's a good chance for you to give us suggestions for shows, and it's good for us because some of your suggestions, quite frankly, are really good. So we'll take more phone calls momentarily. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Okay, let's go back to phone calls. We're doing an open line, something different. Haven't done it in ages. And we go to Rafiq in Cedarburg. Hi, Rafiq.
Hi. Excuse me. I would recommend to invite one of the four members. Either any one of them will do. Of the United Nations fact-finding mission on the Gaza conflict during the Gaza war of January 2009, United Nations appointed under the chairmanship of Richard Gladstone, a South African jurist, to investigate the war crimes on both sides, on Israeli defense forces and Palestinian militants, and to investigate the crimes against humanity. Israelis refused to join that, and later on, the militants accepted the report once the report came out. The members of this commission, one is Mr. Richard Gladstone, who's a South African jurist, and he had investigated the war crimes in Yugoslavia earlier. So, and he's also the president of Hebrew University, an honorary president of Hebrew University.
Okay.
Anyway, the other members are, if he doesn't come, are Hina Jilani.
All right, why don't you...
advocate of the Supreme Court of Pakistan.
All right.
If she doesn't come, you can invite Christine Jenkins. She is a professor of international law at London School of Economics.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can ask an Irish colonel, Desmond Travers.
Mm.
They all submitted a report. The report was very much accepted, but later on not implemented.
All right. Thank you, Rafiq, very much. We will look up the report, and thank you for your suggestion. Julie in Stevens Point. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Julie.
A couple of suggestions for you. One would be to do a show on children and toxic stress, how long-term stress for children who are living in poverty, households with neglect or with mental illness or drug and alcohol abuse, where the stress can be so extreme that it actually can turn their genes, genetic code on and off. And a discussion about, it's called epigenetics, a new form of genetic study that's out there. And the experts on that area would be Jack Schoenkopf. He's a doctor with Harvard University's their Center for the Developing Child.
Mm.
As well as a local expert, a pediatrician out of Madison, Dr. Dipesh Nasaria. Also, how important it is for children from birth up through about 5 or 6 for them and their families really to get the support that's needed so that they can raise healthy children who are ready to go on and become productive members of society and reach the highest level of success that they can.
Great. Thank you, Julie. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. David in Ironwood. Hi.
Yeah, there's two things. I called in about the shareholders. I think a show about shareholders' rights instead of just money. Like, oh, I mean, they spending my money on political campaigns and never asked me. Then the other one is this economics professor from Madison. I didn't catch her name, but she was on University Place, Park Falls, and she was mentioning that it was like £160 per person per day to keep the U.S. economy going. And she said something like less than 10 pounds or so of that gets recycled. But we could recycle most all of it. And she said if you capture all the sunlight falling in Wisconsin, you could power the globe. So it's a hopeful message and maybe get her. I mean, this dirty energy throwaway society is killing the planet. If we go to recycling and clean energy, there wouldn't be all this trash in the oceans and we'll all be healthier.
All right, David. Thank you. Thanks very much for your call, sir. Fernando in Shorewood. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I just thought maybe an interesting way of combining the insightful political analysis that we have on Wisconsin Public Radio with the beauty and the talent of our children might be to have some kind of a monthly segment where we take the best debaters, like the teen or high school debate teams in Wisconsin, and just put them to work on the show debating the issues of the day. We could have like a moderator from the show or, you know, a host like you yourself could be like the moderator or the debate ref or whatever you call the person, and then just have, two of our brightest teams just go after each other on whatever issues of the day we normally discuss with the older folks.
I like this idea. We've been trying to figure out ways to get young people, high school age people particularly, to be on the air, and we do it every now and then. But this, you know, it might work. It might be interesting.
Great.
All well, right,
thanks
Fernando.
A lot for giving me some time, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for calling. Mary is next in Eau Claire. Hi, Mary.
I'd like to have a show about ALEC, the American Legislative and Corporation group that where the corporations and legislators get together and write corporation-friendly laws. It's mainly sponsored by the Koch brothers. They're the ones that wrote the law stripping communities of a lot of zoning powers and water control powers, for example, that's been so controversial in front of this legislature.
All right. Show on ALEC. Thank you, Mary. Thanks for your suggestion. Roger in Winter, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon. That Wheat Belly book is excellent, by the way. But anyway, with the show, I would like to hear something about how the workforce has changed. I've been in manufacturing over 30 years, and I've seen such a change, especially in the last 15, where they can take somebody who is 50-plus years old, who's worked for a company over 15 years, and they can lay them off. And then within a year, they'll replace them with a, you know, mid to late 20-year-old, and they won't even give the person who was laid off an opportunity to come back. So it would be along them lines and how the wage scale has dropped in comparison to our inflation.
All right. Thank you, Roger.
Okay, bye-bye.
By Rob in Heartland.
Hello.
Hello, Rob.
So I think this recent package, I think 7 bills that were signed by the governor relating to heroin in Wisconsin, by and large, I think an important package of legislation, but I think there are some potential unintended consequences that might result from this legislation. For example, I have a sister who works as a visiting nurse, and she often has patients in the inner city who need pain relievers, opiate pain relievers, and even under the current restrictions, the doctors cannot fax those prescriptions to the pharmacy. It is required that someone physically go to the doctor's office, physically carry the prescription to the pharmacy. And if you're in pain and, say, perhaps poor and without transportation, this essentially locks you into living in pain without, you know. And I'm just guessing. I know that part, I haven't read this legislation, but I do know part of the legislation speaks to the issues of people obtaining, addicts obtaining drugs from, you know, that are prescribed drugs and somehow further restricting access. And so I just think it would be interesting to look at this potential unintended consequence.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Rob. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Kurt in Springbrook. Hello, Kurt.
Hi, Kathleen. I'd like to hear somebody on your show talk about community rights, preferably maybe Thomas Lindsay or Paul Cienfuegos. Thomas Lindsay is from the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund. And, communities, there's various small communities across the United States who are starting to rise up and create their own ordinances against, like, fracking operations and other harmful operations to their communities. And they're essentially breaking the law.
Who are these?
Doing it.
I'm sorry, but who are the people you suggested, Kurt? I didn't catch that.
Thomas Lindsay. Yeah, he's from the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund.
Okay, Community Environmental, uh-huh.
Or Paul Cienfuegos. I went to a workshop of his down by Black River Falls a couple weeks ago.
Mm, okay.
And the movement's really picking up steam.
Okay, Kurt, thank you.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh, bye.
Bye-bye.
Greg in Madison, hi.
Thanks, Kathleen. I'd like to hear a show about how millennials use technology to be productive, because the assumption I always hear on the radio is that younger people are better at using technology than older people. But if you actually look at how younger people use technology, it's all about social media and entertainment and watching stuff on video and surfing the internet. And I don't think that's very productive. So, there was a Pew survey recently, I think,
right,
which looked at millennial attitudes and behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could have people on talking about how they actually produce something, because they say stuff like, well, you know, when we get into power, we'll have a say. How do they actually get stuff done with software and technology?
Okay.
As opposed to just talking to each other.
All right. Well, and I don't know if you heard me say that we're going to do this three-generation show next Wednesday. I hope it works. I just think it'll be interesting. But so we'll have...
Well, make sure you ask them how they actually get stuff done.
I will. I want one of the millennials who lives in my household to teach me how to do all of this stuff. And they know how to do it so well that they don't have the patience.
They know how to do what? What do they know how to do, Kathleen?
Well, they know how to access all this stuff. You know, I feel illiterate when it comes to being able to send things, and I know where to find information. That's fine. I got plenty of information, and that's what I do, is process information for the show. But in order to be able to send stuff, you know, there's stuff that I don't know how to do. I don't know how to do it.
Okay. Well, when you find out how to do it, let me know if it's of any value.
I will. All right. Thanks, Greg. Yeah, goodbye. Let's go to Ellen in Milwaukee next. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm laughing at the previous caller. Okay. I am hoping that you could do a program on the extremely high rate of patients who die in our hospitals and rehab places every year due to neglect, accident, infection. And last year's count in the United States was 440,000 people. I recently lost my sister to this system, and I think people are affected by it tremendously and want to know what in the world we can do about it.
What happened to your sister?
My sister was in a system in Chicago called Kindred. And she went in there with one problem, wound, and the care that she did not receive and the bad care that she did receive reduced her to weaker and weaker and weaker and going back to the hospital and back to the rehab until in 7 months we got her back up here in Milwaukee. We had her here a month. and she died in February.
Oh, I see.
And it was absolutely traceable to the neglect, mm-hmm. the neglect of care.
All right. Well, if you have, I mean, it's a huge issue. If you have a report that you can cite that you can let us know about and send it to us, that would be great. And the way to do that is, what's the way to do that, KP? Send it to you? Send you a report. You want me to get KP.Whaley, W-H-A-L-E-Y, our wonderful producer, at WPR.org. KP.Whaley, W-H-A-L-E-Y, at WPR.org. Now, his inbox is going to be flooded, but that's okay. Send him a joke or something as well to make it worthwhile. Ellen, thanks very much for your call. Kathy in Oshkosh, hi.
Hi, thank you. I would hope that Wisconsin Public Radio would present the platforms once they're formed of the two major parties in the state so that by these next upcoming elections, folks would have something as a reference.
All right, Kathy. Thank you. Thanks very much. Actually, Wisconsin Public Radio does a fabulous job for elections. They do interviews with everybody. It's covered really thoroughly. There are a lot of shows where you can participate in talking about candidates and what the issues are. So we'll keep that in mind to publish the platforms as well. Let's go next to Dan in Merrimack. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Kathleen. Two things. One, you just had the caller about the hospital deaths due to malpractice or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Dan. I'm sorry, Dan. Your phone is just like you went right into a tunnel. So please call us back because we can't hear you. Gary in Duluth. Hi.
Good afternoon. I'll try to keep it short so more people can get in.
All right.
Ann Wilson Schaafe has written a number of books. One, Women's Reality, When Society Becomes an Addict and the Addictive Organization, in connection with Scott Walker's and the addictive bills that somebody else just mentioned. She talks about the connection between the patriarchal system and the addictive system. Also, there was a great article in this current Rolling Stone about the heroin problem in Vermont and the way the governor of Vermont is dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, it's much different than a lot of other organizations are trying to deal with addiction. They're treating it more as a medical problem rather than trying to lock people up.
Okay.
And one other quick one. There was an article in the January 2014 Reader's Digest about schools being prisons. I don't know the name of the author, but it's a real different look at a way to do schools.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Gary. Interesting suggestions. Thanks. Yeah. Let's go next to Randy in Key Wascom. Hi, Randy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to see a program done on George Soros. I mean, you've got a hedge fund operator who is a multi-billionaire and basically spreads his money around to push his agenda. I mean, MoveOn.org is George Soros. He puts money into news organizations. I mean, the Center for Investigative Journalism is funded in large part by George Soros. He puts a lot of money into anti-Second Amendment groups and organizations, and just basically he is the left version of the Koch brothers, but he doesn't create any jobs like the Koch brothers. He just manipulates money.
All right, Randy, thanks very much for your suggestion. It's amazing to me how much money some people have. He does have a lot of money. It's and we talked a little bit about how people will be free to give even more money. Very few people who are allowed to give a lot of money to candidates and to parties, and as a result of the Supreme Court decision, give even more. So I guess rather than just, it's hard to talk about these issues because we know that they bring forward people who have strong political views, either for or against a certain person. It's probably better for us to look at what their policies are and the effect they have on policy making, decision making in this country. So thank you for your call. Blake in Madison is next. Hi, Blake.
Hi there. I was calling to also affirm the idea of having some information about the intractable issues between Israel and Palestine and the struggle for peace there. Mark Braverman, who's an American, a Jewish person, has a very unique take on some of the ways in which we can work for peace practically, and he's coming to speak at the UW-Madison on May 5th and at Edgewood College in Madison on May 6th, and so he would be a great guest to have while he's here or ahead of his visit and look at that perspective in a different way.
Thank you, Blake. We'll look him up and do some research on it. Connie in Arcadia. Hi.
Hi. I just read a little piece in a catalog about a book called The Peanut Allergy Epidemic. What's causing it? How to stop it? The woman, the writer is Heather Frazier. The book is out for a couple years, but according to the description, it says that peanut allergies are very common in this country, and there are some countries where it does not exist. And I just think the whole thing would be, oh, my goodness, what's going on here, and what did she find out?
Okay. Thank you, Connie.
All righty.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Karen in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The thing that I think would be a great show would be the prevalence of breed-specific legislation that's kind of running rampant throughout the country. And what that does is it targets specific dog breeds, like pit bulls, Rottweilers, German Shepherds, those kinds of dogs, and it really harms the families that have them. And the converse argument would be to target dangerous dogs rather than whole dog breeds. And, you know, there's a lot of groups in Milwaukee and Madison that are working to try to change the mind of people, and throughout the country, actually. And I think it's just, it's a good education subject on dogs and training and all that good stuff.
Mm, yeah. All right, Karen, that's a good suggestion. People talk about that a lot, and it might be, if you have more information, send it to KP. We may do a show on that down the road.
Sure. Can I have the email address again?
Yeah, it's kp.whaley, W-H-A-L-E-Y,
okay,
at WPR.org.
Great, will do. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. All right, back to phone calls. We're doing an open line. Haven't done one in a year. It's been such a long time, and we're getting some good suggestions from you, which is why we do these shows. So let's go next to Jeff in Arborvitae. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
All right. How are you?
We're doing well.
Good.
I think it would be wonderful. You do a great service to the community if you could do an expose on the conflict surrounding Lyme disease.
Okay.
It's a highly misunderstood, I'm not sure anyone really understands it, conflict that is causing a number of patients to be undertreated. And when that happens, they're the ones who end up suffering.
Mm.
My daughter is one of those, so I'm familiar with the conflict.
Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult disease. We had a family member who had it too, so I'm with you, and it would be a good show. All right, thanks, Jeff.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Annette in Madison. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the subject matter that's been brought up in the last few minutes kind of goes along with what I am suggesting, indirectly with regard to animals, Lyme disease, all those things, is the increase in dog fighting in the area. And that brings to mind that there seems to be an increase overall in Dane County and Madison specifically in crime. I've lived here over 30 years. I've seen just a lot of things and heard a lot of things that are happening that never would have happened years ago. Just the home invasions, for instance, the dog fighting, the unkindness to other human beings, and And someone brought it home, too, with regard to the elderly, the earlier call. I've often heard among my own family members that are in their 70s and 80s that they are ignored when they're at a checkout line. People don't care about them. They can smile at them, and they don't even know they exist. And so I just think the unkindness to others and the fallout with the increase in violence, and just taking a second look, taking a step back, thinking about others, thinking about that dog in the hot car in summer and saying something about it instead of walking by, for instance.
Right.
So that's about
it. All right. The power of human kindness. It's all right. All right. To do a show on that. Thank you very much for your call. Jake in Milwaukee. Hello, Jake.
Hi. Yeah, there's been a bunch of emails that came out of the John Doe email investigation that was released a few months ago that shows that the Scott Walker administration and other Republicans have like a direct line to like Charlie Sykes in particular on WTMJ, and they tell them what to say and how to frame an issue. And I just kind of find that, well, I don't find it weird because I make sure it happened, but kind of find it really unethical. I was wondering if you could have maybe Professor Chris Terry from UW Milwaukee talk about how these organizations like that, the MacIver Institute, Media Trackers, are able to use radio hosts as a propaganda conduit, and the corporations that own them, which would be JS Communications or whoever else, let the people, the radio hosts, get away with basically being a conduit and not a journalist.
Yeah,
so that's just my idea.
All right. Thank you very much, Jake, for your call. Well, the whole radio world has changed since it was deregulated, of course, and it's perfectly fine now, and you don't have to have balance to do a certain kind of radio. I would also suggest that you take up those issues with the companies who run those stations. So, but our responsibility, I think, is to talk about why that has happened. And what the public wants, you know, if they want to have people know where those stations are coming from, if that's what you want, or if you would like to return to more of an equal time situation. Kenneth in Janesville, hi.
Hello. I'd like to raise the level of the conversation a little bit.
Oh, Kenneth, it's been elevated, don't you think?
Well, I'd like to raise it a little more.
All right. Go right ahead.
Talk about a book called American Nietzsche, N-I-E-T-Z-S-C-H-E, by Jennifer Ratner Rosenhagen, UW lady. And it's a history of his ideas. And I think we're in the middle of his thinking, and we should examine it a little more closely, so that when things happen, we might understand better where we're at.
All right, Kenneth. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Bye.
We're doing an open line. We have a couple lines open, and we're moving through calls fairly rapidly. The purpose is to take as many as we can. So our phone number is 800-486-8655. If you've had a hard time getting through or if you can't go to a phone, we're also taking suggestions at talk@wpr.org. On our Facebook page, you can always go there, but we leave suggestions there because we don't do these open lines very often. That's the Kathleen Dunn Show. We're also on Twitter at @KDunn. Show. And KP has said it's okay to give his email address so that you can keep this in mind for future suggestions as he produces this program. And that's KP, the initials KP.Whaley, W-H-A-L-E-Y at WPR.org. Cindy in Appleton, hi.
Hello, I wish you'd do a show on the evils of fluoride. We put this stuff in our water and it's killing us.
It's killing us?
It sure is. I just came from a seminar in Green Bay a couple weeks ago, and the evidence of this is very disturbing.
All right. It's an old, old battle. Thank you very much for the call. We may do that if it looks like we should do it. Dan in Wausau. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I would love to hear a show on the Wisconsin state deficit. I hear structural deficit. I've been online trying to figure out actually how far in debt we really are. Can't seem to find much information, and I'm frustrated with the fact that we're going to get tax money back, and I'm worried that in the big picture it's just a political ploy.
Okay, Dan. Thank you for your call. Alice in Fitchburg. Hi.
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 I am very interested in what's happening in Wisconsin to the fact that we're number one in two big areas, and that is incarceration of people of color and, of course, the gap of opportunities for black children. But there's an organization called Moses that is part of Wisdom, and there's a woman by the name of Carol Rubin, a retired lawyer who is the president of Moses, and she could tell you a whole lot about the organization and what we can do to help bring the two races together, kind of like what Pastor G was trying to do with his saying that we need to become more acquainted with one another. Mm-hmm. So that's my idea.
All right. Thank you, Alice. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Joe, Northlake. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. This is Joe Dunn. Same last name as you.
Hey, Joe Dunn. Great name.
Yes, it is. Say, Kathleen, I think you should have a talk show on fascism in this country, what fascism really is, and where it's taking us. You know, Henry Wallace, the vice president under Franklin Delano Roosevelt, talked eloquently on fascism, and we certainly are in a fascist state at present.
All right, Joe, thank you. Thank you for your call.
Bye.
Suzanne, Milwaukee, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm calling because of all the things that have happened and the necessity for mental health care seems to be kind of taken away by insurance companies that allow so many visits based on what a therapist or what a psychiatrist allows. And I just don't believe that there should be so many barriers against people getting the mental health care that they need.
All right. We're getting a couple calls along those lines, so we will take that under advisement and look at this. And thank you, Suzanne, for your call. Thanks, everybody. Got a lot of calls, some really good suggestions, which we'll, follow through on. I'm glad we did this, waited a long time. It's just there's so many guests out there and so much to talk about that we haven't done this, but it's good every now and then to just open the lines to you and find out what you would like to hear. Again, you can go to talk@WPR.org, our Facebook page, where you can always leave messages, and we let you know what's coming up. That's the Kathleen Dunn Show, and KP's email is kp.whaley, W-H-A-L-E-Y, @WPR.org. Monday, Ken Burns will be with us talking about Abraham Lincoln and the Gettysburg Address. And we will be also talking about Cesar Chavez with that new movie out later in the week. The author of The Crusades of Cesar Chavez will be with us. Thanks for listening, everybody. Always great conversations ahead.